This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, "Kullu ibn Adam khatta." وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. That just like our forefather Adam alayhi salam, every one of the offspring of Adam will make mistakes. And the best of those who make mistakes are those who repent after their mistakes. Meaning the best of all of humanity are who? What's your criteria? Allah says those who make up for their shortcomings by repenting for their sins. And we have that in what we have discussed in the story of Adam alayhi salam. Of what made him so great is that he did not for a moment justify, he did not for a moment blame game, he immediately sought forgiveness for his sin. But also not without leaving for us that treasure of an origin story that we will all be prone to sin. None of us will be flawless, not even our great forefather, the great father of humanity, Adam alayhi salam. That is part of our qadar as human beings. Part of the destiny we have to wrangle with. In fact, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in an authentic hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari that Allah had permitted, perhaps in the realm of souls after they had died, he had permitted Musa alayhi salam to have a conversation with his great-great-grandfather, Adam alayhi salam. Moses speaks to Adam and says to him, "Oh Adam, how could you do it? How could you get us kicked out of Jannah? How could you make that mistake?" He said to him, as the hadith mentions, "Aren't you the one Allah created with his own two hands? Aren't you the one that Allah blew into him from his soul? Aren't you the one that Allah made the angels prostrate to? How could you do it?" And so Adam alayhi salam responds to him and says, "Aren't you Musa Kalimullah? The one Allah spoke to directly, exceptional privilege. Aren't you the one he wrote for the alwah, the tablets containing the sacred commandments with his own hands? How could you hold against me something Allah had destined for me before he ever created the universe?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Fahajja Adamu Musa," three times. Adam out-argued Moses. Adam out-argued Moses. Adam out-argued Moses. It's not like, oh, they both have a point. Adam had the greater point. Keep in mind, Adam alayhi salam, of course, he is not blaming destiny, saying, "I had nothing to do with it." He owned it. We have in the Quran that he owned it. He said, "Rabbana zalamna anfusana," our Lord, we wronged ourselves. Forgive us. He owned his share of the responsibility. But at the same time, he is recognizing, as we should recognize, that it's part of not just the human condition, it is part of the beauty, the wonder of the human story, is that we need not make all of the right turns in life to arrive at the right location. It's part of the greatness that Allah has set up for us. He has us on such a track that even if we make wrong turns in life, we can still arrive at Him safely. We can still be with Him for eternity. We can still be at the most perfect location at the end of the voyage, at the end of the trip, the journey of life. We are destined to fall short at times. Whether it is our circumstance, or whether it is even our moral weakness, like it's a blameworthy thing, but regardless what it is, every time we fall short, it's going to come at a cost. It will come at a cost. It's going to pinch. It's going to hurt. There's going to be nicks and cuts and bruises. Sure, that'll happen. But this hurt, even the hurt, right? Even the shortcoming, this should never be forgotten about, never be overlooked. This is an opportunity for you to come closer to Allah than ever before. Always. If Adam alayhi salam did not make the mistake, brothers and sisters, if he did not commit the sin, would he have gotten closer to Allah by discovering yet a new name of Allah, Al-Ghafoor, the forgiver of all of the sins? If he didn't need to be forgiven, he would not have discovered this name, the granter of forgiveness, no matter how vast your sins. And if he did not get sent down, it hurt getting put on this world, in this world, after being in Jannah. If he did not feel, get pressed by the difficulties and hardships that come with being in this world. Is it a demotion? It's definitely a demotion. But it's an opportunity for a promotion at the same time. He would not have just as deeply felt that Allah is the gift giver. He's born in Jannah. Not to say he took it totally for granted, but still, it will be different the second time he goes in. Or to feel that Allah is Al-Jabbar, He is the Almighty. Only He can get me back in there. I got that myself out. That He is Al-Aziz, He is the Almighty, He is the mender of all breaks. I'm broken here, I'm brokenhearted, I have a broken circumstance in this world. You know, even us, many a times we have been and we should be speaking about the double standards, the lies, the abuse of power, the crimes of the Zionists, right? The crimes of Israel. We've been talking about that. But we also have to be careful not to overspeak on this. What do I mean? At the end of the day, if we think the whole problem is the Zionists, right? Then we're forgetting that this could have been removed by Allah. They are but middlemen, as one brother said, bringing to us a message from Allah. Unless and until we focus on who sent the message, who unleashed them against us, who allowed them to torment us and bully us, then we've missed a big part of the whole point. Right? They don't have to be there. Allah is the enabler. He is the grantor of power. He is sending us a message, and we have to get that message before the messenger stops getting sent, stops getting unleashed. He is removing through their torment of us, their oppression of us, their bullying of us, their massacring of us. He is removing from within us our love for this world. And we've all felt it in the past year and a half. He's pulling from us the glorification of a plastic life, a plastic world, a short-lived, cheap world. He is forcing us to recognize the glory of Him in our life decisions. And I hope that has also been improving the last year and a half. And so before we move on in the story of Adam alayhi salam, let's just remember this. Every obstacle, no matter how painful, no matter how disappointing, it is an opportunity, rather a golden opportunity. You will never be withheld by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to your circumstances. No matter what your circumstances are, you have to believe this. You know why? So that you stop feeling sorry for yourself. So you stop feeling powerless as well. You know, 2 weeks ago was the release of our brother Raghid al-Tatari. For those who have not heard, he was the pilot, the Syrian pilot the world is talking about right now. Raghid al-Tatari went to prison for 43 years. Because when the Assad regime in Syria was bombing their own people in the city of Hama, the massacre of Hama, he refused to bomb the people of Hama. He rejected the command of his superiors. He lost his life, prestigious life as a pilot in his society, lost his freedom, missed out on his children, his grandchildren, probably the death of his parents, missed out on everything. From one angle, it's a sob story. It's so tragic, so unfortunate, and we've been talking about this. But it is also a story of glory, is it not? Has this person missed out, perhaps on the day of judgment, when we see the value of that decision he made, say he hasn't missed out on anything. This guy did what we couldn't do. This guy took a stand in ways and at a cost that we couldn't. Yes, his circumstances were momentarily tragic, but that is what got him, inshallah ta'ala. This is the way the Muslim is to think about the story of Adam alayhi salam every time he comes across it. And by the way, Adam alayhi salam did this as well. He came to this world and he did not feel sorry for himself in a way that you throw in the towel, you stop trying. He accepted, and this was hard. You were just in Jannah. You have to imagine what it was like to accept, to be humbled by the nature of this world. You know, some of the reports mentioned, they're not a hadith, but they help us bring this into, this is real. Imagine he gets there, gets to this world, he wants to eat. No, you have to plant something first. Now you have to cover it in water, now you have to wait. Then it has to come out, you can't eat it yet, you have to grind it. You have to create a fire, and there's smoke involved. You cook it. And then you ingest it and it feels different. Like I was in Jannah, right? It feels different. And then of course what goes in, brothers and sisters, had to come out. That's why some of these reports say that when he used the bathroom for the first time, he cried. What's that smell? Imagine how difficult this was for Adam alayhi salam. But he still made the best out of it. He kept working, regardless of his circumstance. And he got closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than ever. So you know what? No matter how long this takes, I'm going to use the opportunity. If it takes hundreds of years, I'm going to accept to do that. You know, sometimes people complain and say, my parents, they're making my life so difficult and they're never pleased. And tell yourself, if I live for 200 years, I'm going to make it worth my while to put up with all these inconveniences. I'll do it. What's 200 years? Adam alayhi salam lived upwards of 900 years in this world. And he never stopped working hard. And Allah elevated him to the station of prophethood. He became one of the great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making use of every opportunity. And then he filled this world with righteous children. And whoever knows, knows how hard it is, how much work it takes to leave behind children that are righteous. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned to us that Tawheed remained on this earth for 10 generations. You know the trickle effect and it tapering off? For 10 generations after Adam alayhi salam, his kids were still passing the baton of belief, of faith, of monotheism, of righteousness. He worked hard. And he didn't just do that. He traveled the world to build the houses of Allah, the greatest houses of Allah. And that's hard work. You know, according to the stronger opinions, he built the Kaaba. When the ayah says Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba, it says it erected the pillars. It likely means it restored them because they withered away, the Kaaba. But the Kaaba is the house of Allah, where the worship of Allah is. And the humans have always been worshiping Allah. And so the Kaaba was needed from day one. And so it was the first house ever built by Adam alayhi salam, or by the angels or by both, but he built the Kaaba. And not just this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Masjid al-Aqsa was built 40 years after the Kaaba. So then he traveled to Jerusalem and he built the Masjid al-Aqsa as well. That's hard work. And perhaps it's of the wisdom, brothers and sisters, of why when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in that miraculous night journey that is recorded in the Quran, he was taken from Mecca to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Then Allah took him up through the heavens, the skies. The first one he meets after Al-Aqsa, Al-Ka'ab and Al-Aqsa is who? Is Adam alayhi salam in the first sky. He was the first one of humanity to build them for sure. And then it was finally time to be awarded. In the hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'ab, the authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when the time of death came to Adam alayhi salam, he said to his children, Ya baniya, ukhruju fajnu li min thimari al-jannah. Oh my sons, I'm craving the fruits of paradise. Go find them for me. And so they walk out. And they walk out, and of course they have no idea where they're going to get them from. But they walked out, probably talking to each other, like, what do we do exactly? Where do we find this? Where do we begin looking? And they run into men that were the angels of Allah in the form of men. And they tell them, Aina turidun, where are you going? They said, we're not exactly sure. But our father told us to go get him the fruits of Jannah. So the angels say back to them, irji'u faqad kufitum. Go back, it's already taken care of. The time of death for your father has arrived. So they rush back and with them are the angels. And Adam alayhi salam is laying there. And his wife recognizes them. These are angels. So she runs and she grabs her husband. Stay away from him. And he turns to her and he says to her, إِلَيْكِ عَنِّي إِلَيْكِ عَنِّي فَإِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنْ قِبَلِكِ. Step away. Step away. Don't come between me, بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ مَلَائِكَةِ رَبِّي, between me and the angels of my Lord. I was attacked through you. He owned his responsibility. Don't misunderstand. But he is saying that you perhaps kept forwarding your request. You were supposed to stop me. We're supposed to be a team. No, not again. Step away. don't come between me and the angels of my Lord. And so then the angels come to him, and they draw out his soul, and they wash his body, وَحَنَّطُوهُ, and they perfume him, وَكَفَّنُوهُ, and they shroud him, وَصَلَّوْا عَلَيْهِ, and they prayed over him, وَحَفَرُوا لَهُ, and they dug for him, and then they buried him in the grave. Then they turned to his children and they said, هَذِهِ سُنَّتُكُمْ فِي مَوْتَاكُمْ. This is the tradition that you will follow regarding all of your deceased. Allah has honored the human being by not allowing his carcass to rot, if you will, on top of the earth like an animal. You will be tucked in that earth that you came from. Finally, brothers and sisters, as I close here, what is the lesson? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes Jannah for you, He increases your craving for it. And a lot of times, that is by soiling, dampening your cravings for this world. He causes blemishes in this world. And you have to realize it. He is not ever taking from you except to give you. He is never demoting you except to elevate you. He is never putting you to death except to give you a better life, inshallah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. In final words, brothers and sisters, I wish for all of you now as we walk away from the khutbas discussing the life of Adam عليه السلام, when life gets inconvenient, when you're betrayed by your health, or you feel betrayed by your children, or you lose some loved ones, or you're watching the ummah suffering around the world, Allah is dampening your desire for this world. So keep it damp. And stir and grow your desire for the next world. A home that better suits you. When you don't feel as at home here anymore. That could be a great blessing. And speaking of a home that better suits you, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ مَسْجِدًا وَلَوْ كَمِفْحَ صِقَتَاتٍ بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Whomever builds a masjid for Allah, even as small as a bird's nest, that's not real, that's not literal, because you're not allowed to build a masjid the size of a bird's nest, because no one's going to be making salah inside. That would be a mockery. What's meant is, no matter how little you contribute, don't miss out on the opportunity. Whomever builds a masjid for Allah, meaning contributes even, no matter how small, Allah will build for him a home in paradise. Many of you have heard the announcements. We're so blessed in a city of 300,000 people in Allentown to finally be able to open a musalla. Brothers from Masjid Tawheed of Greater Allentown have opened the musalla, and it is upon us to make sure the renovations and the first year of rent are out of the way. It will cost them about $40,000. We will stand, inshallah, and whether you're doing it to get your taxes reduced by the end of this year, or you're going to space it out across the rest of next year, we're going to stand and raise our hands together, inshallah, high, and make sure this is behind us, so that every letter of Quran and every drop of water in wudu and every prostration and everything that is heard of Allah's